Hey, Leo here for Actualized.org. And in this episode, I'm going to be helping you to make sense of paranormal spiritual phenomena, the occult, and psychic powers. There is no source of deception in the investigation of nature which can compare with the fixed belief that certain kinds of phenomena are impossible. A quote by William James. All right. I'm really excited about this topic because we have some tricky terrain to navigate, and this is what I shoot this content for, is these kind of deep, juicy topics. A word of warning, though, first, which is that this topic you want to listen to very carefully, with a very open mind. Set your skepticism aside for just a little bit till the end of this episode, and stick with me to the very end of this episode. I know it's kind of a long one, but you got to be very careful about not jumping to conclusions here, or you're going to get this topic wrong. So, what do we mean by paranormal spiritual phenomena? That's a very loaded phrase. Well, I'll tell you exactly what I mean. I mean ESP, extrasensory perception, telepathy, clairvoyance, remote viewing, healing, astral projection, channeling, out-of-body experiences, or OBEs as they're known, near-death experiences, or NDEs as they're commonly known, witchcraft, spirits, ghosts, aliens, other beings, angels, demons, exorcisms, telekinesis, levitation, past lives, Aenidia, which is the ability to live without food or water for very long periods of time, like years on end. Astrology, fortune telling, deities of various kinds, auras, heaven and hell, and prophecy. That's what we mean by paranormal spiritual phenomena. So, of course, all of this is bullshit, right? All of this is just coming from the overactive imaginations of silly, superstitious religious people or New Age hippies, right? Isn't that the answer? Isn't that the explanation for all of this? Wrong. Very wrong. All of my research suggests that these phenomena, for the most part, not always, but for the most part, are actually real phenomena and that they're part of our reality. Now, of course, I have to make a lot of caveats here when I say that because it's very easy to misinterpret me when I say that. Now, when I say that these phenomena are real, you have to understand that this word real, you might hold it in a very objective way. And when I say the word real, I hold it in a much more subjective way. To me, reality is one giant infinite hallucination. And so ultimately, everything within reality is unreal as phenomena. So the entire phenomenal world is really not real. But we call it real, conventionally speaking, and we think of it as real. And it's very difficult for someone who hasn't experienced a different state of consciousness than regular waking consciousness or dreaming consciousness. If someone hasn't experienced anything other than that, it's very difficult to convey to them just how flimsy their current state of consciousness is, and also how flimsy their notion of reality is. Your body, your life, your personal history, yourself, all of this is ultimately unreal. That's the truth of non-duality. But we want to talk about not that stuff here. We're going to be talking about different kinds of phenomena. So what kind of appearances and phenomena can appear? Well, that can vary a lot, even just if we stick to our conventional notions of reality. There's all sorts of weird creatures in the oceans. There's weird stuff going on in space. There's weird stuff going on in physics and in quantum mechanics. And humans have been surprised by the nature of nature for thousands of years now. And we keep being continually surprised. It hasn't stopped. And there doesn't seem to be a sign of it stopping anytime soon. So we have to keep that in mind. And I'll be belaboring this point more and more as we go on. But let me get back to the point of research. So over the last 2 years, I've been doing a lot of research just for myself into non-duality because I want to help myself to become enlightened. I've been reading a lot of books, going to a lot of workshops, doing a lot of retreats, and talking to a lot of people. Okay, I've talked about that in the past with you. But as I've been doing that research, also what keeps cropping up, and you'll probably notice this yourself, is that also these paranormal aspects of spirituality also pop up. It's not like you can just read a bunch of books and only you hear about the truth of non-duality. You also hear about these weird phenomena and you're not sure what to make of them. Are they real? Are they unreal? And initially, of course, you just dismiss them because our culture dismisses this stuff. And you say, well, it's just people over-exaggerating stuff. Of course, you know, religions have been over-exaggerating reality for thousands of years, nothing new there. And we've got crazy and deluded people all around us, so we know that. So we just chalk that up to that. That's our explanation. But the more you do research and the more you study, the more you actually meet people face-to-face who tell you their stories by going to retreats and seminars, the more you meditate, the more psychedelics you take, the more weird stuff you experience, the more mystical states you have, then the more open you become to the possibility that some of this stuff actually might be more than just fantasy. And what I've been doing is I've been cross-referencing dozens of sources pretty carefully over the last 2 years from books and in person and from spiritual masters that I've met and so forth. And many of these sources I consider to be reputable, high-quality sources, in my opinion. Of course, you'll have to decide for yourself what's a good source for you. But for me, these tend to be high-quality sources, and ultimately what this led to in me is a sort of paradigm shift that happened about a year ago, where before I was just like most people, and I dismissed all this phenomenon as just sort of new-age hippie fantasies and religious superstition, to the point where actually now my paradigm of reality is very comfortable with the paranormal. And the paranormal has ultimately just become normal for me. It's the new normal. So one of the interesting things that I want to show you with talking about this and how this shift happened for me and why it happened is that this notion of what's normal and what's paranormal is actually a lot less scientific and objective than we think. And it's a lot more subjective and just purely conceptual and purely conventional in the end. And this is something you can discover, but only if you're very open-minded and you're willing to hear some of these arguments that I'm going to be presenting and some of the evidence. And then you're willing to go off there and do the research on your own. Because I'm not here to just feed you with dogma. I want you to be thinking critically. So over the last couple of years, I think I've developed a fairly good working model of what all this phenomena is, and that's what I want to share with you here. Now, I know that you're skeptical, and I can hear people in the audience saying, well, Leo, come on, come on. Really? Are you fucking kidding me? You're going to be spending an hour talking about aliens and fucking spirits and ghosts and shit. And I thought this was a real personal development channel and you were a practical, rational guy. Now you're talking about this stuff. You're lending it credibility and you're ruining your own credibility with doing this. And I don't want to even listen to your advice anymore. So, look, I know that I'm putting my credibility on the line. But just stick with me and listen to what I have to say. I'm going to answer many, many, many of your objections here in ways that people have not seriously answered before. So you have all sorts of objections, which I have had when I started learning about this stuff. Things like, well, if these phenomena are really real, then science surely would have proved it years ago. And yet it hasn't. Or, well, if these phenomena are real, then why isn't everyone talking about this? Or why haven't I met such a person with some of these abilities in real life? Or why aren't there YouTube videos of people levitating and seeing ghosts and shit? Or if people can see the future and fortune telling is real and clairvoyance is real, then how come people aren't using that to predict the trends in the stock market and then making a killing there, making billions in the stock market? Or an objection like, what about non-duality? If non-duality tells us that everything is one and that there are no separations and there are no others relative to selves, then what are all these entities, these deities and these aliens and these spirits and so forth, what are they? That makes no sense and contradicts non-duality. And the list goes on and on with these objections, and I'll be covering many of them more and more as we keep going. But let me first address these, because I think that these are the ones that really keep people from going deeper into investigating this. So first, the objection is, why hasn't science already proved this? Well, you have to recognize that science is not unbiased. Science has certain paradigms that it works within. And this is well known within the philosophy of science. Science goes through revolutions. It has in the past, and it will continue to in the future. Science is always evolving. Science is fallible. That's actually what makes science good, is that science is always trying to admit its own mistakes and to evolve. So a lot of people misunderstand this, and they think that, well, it's fallible, yeah, sure, but then they just assume that everything that science tells them is then right. You have to take into account the fallibility of science. You also have to take into account some of the limitations of science. There are some very deep fundamental framework limitations, which I need to talk more deeply about here after I answer some of these other objections. So we'll keep going into that. But yeah, you know, in 100 years, science may very well consider some of these paranormal phenomena real, whereas right now it doesn't. Why isn't everyone talking about this? Well, this one's very easy. Who is everyone that you're listening to? You understand that mostly what you do is like you watch TV, you watch some Game of Thrones, you watch some stupid YouTube videos, and you think that now you have a broad representative picture of the world? Who are you talking to? Where are you getting your information? What kind of media are you feeding yourself with? Is it the most mainstream, the most low consciousness media imaginable, which pushes all your emotional buttons? It's hard for that media to even report accurately on a presidential candidate or an election, let alone to report accurately on subtle spiritual phenomena. Come on, get real here. You have to understand that your interaction with culture and the media and information is extremely biased and very limited. Very, very limited. I guarantee that if you go out there and travel the world, go to India, go to Africa, study with various spiritual masters, really bother to try to understand their culture and their perspective and their insights about life, you will come back a changed person. You will not see the world the same way again. Your eyes will have been permanently opened. About this other question of why haven't I met such a person in person? Well, again, the question is, who do you hang out with? What kind of friends do you surround yourself with? Most of the people you surround with yourself with, they don't even understand what consciousness is. They don't even understand what enlightenment is. You probably haven't even met an enlightened person in the flesh, let alone a person who has paranormal spiritual abilities. And even if you did, even if such a person came up to you and tried to tell you something like, oh, hey, I experienced some sort of weird spiritual phenomenon yesterday, what would you do? You would dismiss them. And chances are you actually have dismissed people like this in your life. Maybe you've met a woman or a man at some point in your life, or maybe a colleague at work or a friend who tried to tell you about some of this stuff, but because your paradigm does not allow for anything paranormal, because you hold reality as this fixed physical object with which you interact, you're not able to make sense of this phenomenon. You have to reject it, you see. Your mind is not really left with any other options. So we have to work on your paradigm here very much as I keep talking about this stuff. So it's no surprise you haven't met these people because you haven't seriously bothered to go out there and look for them. And these people, they aren't part of your social circle. They aren't part of your culture. These people that have these abilities, if they have them, they're off on their own. They're part of their own circles, because they would be demonized and burned at the stake. In many places today in the world, if you came out with such abilities and you told people about them openly, they would stone you to death. All right, so you got to keep that in mind. And even if you're living in a Western developed country, hey, 300 years ago, just for talking about what I'm talking about right now, I would have been called a heretic and burned at the stake. So you got to keep that in mind. We are not as far along evolved as we like to think that we are. We're still in the very early stages, still in the dark ages, as I call it. Why aren't there YouTube videos of people doing this stuff? Well, a couple of reasons. Firstly, because these people generally don't like to show off for cameras. Now, you might say, well, that's sort of a cop-out. There should be real physical proof. Well, we'll get more to that in a minute. But the other reason is that even if I showed you a real video right now of someone doing something paranormal, what would your mind do? Would it accept that video? Of course not, because it would mean that your entire paradigm of reality is wrong. So rather than admitting that your entire paradigm of reality is wrong, what your mind is going to do is it's going to question and skeptically dismiss everything. It's going to nitpick every single piece of evidence that's presented to it, which is why we have an uphill battle here and why radical open-mindedness is so important. So maybe there are, maybe there aren't YouTube videos. I don't know. There's a lot of videos on YouTube. Have you checked them all? And the ones that you've seen, have you dismissed them? So see, I show you one video and then you say, well, that's not good enough. I don't like that one. It's not clear enough. Show me a better one. Then I show you a better one. And you say, well, that one's not good enough either. Maybe these people were in collusion, or maybe this is all just some sort of dogma and people are just acting it out and they are deluded. They think that they are doing this, but actually they're not doing it. Or maybe it's photoshopped, or maybe, you know, all sorts of stuff is possible. So see, the issue here is how your mind reacts to the information. But also, of course, a lot of this stuff, like how are you going to get clairvoyance or remote viewing visible on a YouTube video? You won't. The only thing you can possibly see on a YouTube video is the most gross physical manifestations of one of these powers. So maybe if someone was literally levitating, you could shoot a video of that. But many of these powers are much more subtle than that. They aren't so materialistic, and so you can't just take an easy video of it. The other objection is, well, how come people aren't making a killing in the stock market if fortune tellers are so accurate? Well, here's the thing. Two points about this. First of all, a lot of people, when they hear about fortune telling and seeing the future, they assume it's like, oh, it's 100% perfect in this sort of, it's like a scientific instrument. Like, if I can tell the future, that means I can see exactly what's going to happen tomorrow. Everything is set in stone. All of reality is predestined. And I'm just like reading a book and I can tell you exactly what's going to happen. And if it's not like that, then it's not really real. But see, that's a rather silly, materialistic notion of what seeing the future is really like. Rather than that, think of seeing the future as more of an intuitive ability, which is hazy, which is fuzzy, which isn't 100% right. And in fact, maybe it's only 30% right. But 30% is still better than 0% the way that most people do it, you see. The other issue there is that I actually have read a few convincing reports that there are people who use their psychic abilities to play the stock market and make good money. Now, think about this. If you actually had a psychic ability and you were able to use it to make a living playing the stock market, would you go around blabbing about it to people? Would you go around showing off your competitive advantage? No, of course not. You would just do it quietly in your basement and fill your bank accounts with cash. That's what you would do. You would play that market and you would win and you would be happy. And even if, let's say you're at a party and you wanted to tell somebody, hey, you know, the way I make money is by using my psychic abilities in the stock market. What are they going to do? They're going to laugh you off. Aren't they? Isn't that what you would do if someone told you that? You would not take that person seriously. So why should they bother to go out of their way to convince you? You see, that's part of the problem here with paranormal abilities is that people who don't believe in them and have no experience with them, it's very hard to convince them. And yet the people who do have the experience, they are so convinced they don't need to go around convincing anybody else. They're just happy with what they know. And if you think about it, that's really how true knowledge works. When you have a true piece of knowledge and it's grounded in experience and you know that it's real, you have no doubts about it, you don't need to go run around convincing other people. You do that when you're unsure. So maybe there are people who are making a killing in the stock market with their psychic abilities, but would you know about it? How would you? Are you going to see these people on the evening news? Bragging? Would you do that? You see? That's actually one very good reason why you shouldn't play the stock market. Because think about it, you might be competing against people with psychic abilities, and also you're competing against very large companies who have algorithms, very complicated, intelligent algorithms, who can play the stock market much smarter and more responsively than any little individual investor can. So watch out with the stock market. And this issue about non-duality telling us that everything is one and therefore there's no room for paranormal abilities. Actually, no, that's not the case at all. There's no necessary conflict between the two. Non-duality is telling us that everything is one, but then within everything there being one, there's all sorts of entities and creatures. And there are trees, there are houses, there are cars, there are underwater squid and all sorts of stuff like that. So it's not weird at all that there can be all sorts of different facets to reality, phenomenal facets to reality, some of them very weird and very shocking to our own minds and very unconventional. And yet, nevertheless, everything is still non-dual. So I know you're skeptical, and we'll cover more of these objections as we keep going, but let's move on. The core of my argument here is that there are way too many converging reports of paranormal phenomena all across the world, all across time, all across cultures, for them to just be pure fantasy. Because you have to ask yourself, how do we explain these reports? And it's really, you only have a couple of options here. You can either admit that there's something true to the reports, or you can completely deny all the reports. But then you have to say, why are there so many reports? And we're not just talking about hundreds of reports or thousands of reports. We're talking about tens of thousands of reports, like I said, all across the world, all across very different cultures, very different religious traditions, different languages, and across thousands of years of time. And if you're wondering, well, what are all these reports? It's because you haven't bothered to do any of the even basic research. I personally haven't even done that much research into the paranormal phenomena. I don't really have time. Most of my time goes into running my business and pursuing enlightenment and doing spiritual purification work on my ego. That takes up most of my time. And so any research that I do into paranormal phenomena is just cursory. And just a couple of years of doing that research has been fairly convincing to transform my paradigm of what I consider normal versus paranormal. There are these reports, and these reports are not random. It's not like people are just sitting down and making stuff up out of whole cloth. Like, I believe that there are blue monkeys living on the moon. Nobody ever said that. Nobody ever believed that. And yet, people do believe in some of these paranormal abilities, and they take them very seriously. So why is that? Why is there a convergence from different cultures, different times, all across the world? That's what's interesting to me. That's my central argument for why I think these things must be true or have an element of truth. Now, I'm not saying they're all exactly the way that they're reported necessarily. Of course, reports can have all sorts of exaggerations and inflations and all sorts of dogma comes with it. But when a lot of people report weird phenomena, I think we have to take that as serious, and we have to investigate that further with good science and by personal investigation. The ancient yogis called these powers siddhis, S-I-D-D-H-I-S, siddhis. And they write about these powers in their books. They also categorize these powers, and they talk about how to develop some of them, some of the dangers of pursuing these powers, and so forth. And this goes back to ancient yogis, but also to modern ones who I've read accounts of who talk about developing some of these powers. Yogis today develop these powers and talk about how they have these powers. But not just yogis. So don't confuse this as just some sort of Hindu thing, because all mystical traditions and all mystics from all across the world and all cultures and all times report such abilities in varying degrees. What's really interesting to me is that every religion not only has, of course, the exoteric aspect, which is all the stuff we don't like about religion, all the ritual and all the external stuff. But also, like I've talked about in the past, it also has an esoteric aspect, which is the non-dual component, enlightenment. And also it has the occult aspect. Almost every major religion, so including Christianity, Hinduism, Islam, you name it, every single one of them, and even all the minor ones, they all have occult branches. And these are usually kept the most secret of them all. And that's for good reason, because when you start to talk about these powers with common folk, they take out their pitchforks and they want to crucify you. So you got to be careful. Here's my theory about these powers, is that most famous mystics in history, such as the Buddha, Jesus, Muhammad, etc., and there were many of them, did actually possess and exhibit some real paranormal abilities. And that they are not just myths, the way they write about in the books. Now, of course, surely some of the stuff in the Bible and so forth, a lot of it is pure myth and just made up fantasy. Obviously, that's the case. But also, be careful not to throw the baby out with the bathwater. You got to ask yourself, what was the motive for creating these myths in the first place? What are they based upon? And I think that what a lot of modern, rational, skeptical, scientific people do is they just say, no, all of it is just fantasy. But I think that that is a fantasy. The reality is that the way that dogma works is that people don't just make up stuff out of whole cloth. Dogma works in very particular ways. Dogma works by taking the truth and then exaggerating it, inflating it, or converting it to the ego's purposes. So what I think is that there were a lot of enlightened people throughout history, but only a few of them had these very rare paranormal abilities. And these were the very classic mystics who became deified and who became revered and worshipped. Think about what kind of effect, especially a couple thousand years ago, one of these mystics could have on you if you were just an ordinary person who did not believe in any paranormal abilities, but then you actually saw one of these mystics heal somebody, like a relative of yours, or you saw them perform some sort of what seemed like a miracle to you, something that seemed physically impossible. Think about what that would do to your psyche, and then what kind of believer or convert that would make of you. That would certainly make you a very loyal devotee of that person, wouldn't it? It would even today. If you saw a video of me fucking levitating, your entire relationship to me would completely change. And you would hold me in a totally different echelon of teacher. And if you saw some of those things, then you would go around converting people to my cause, wouldn't you? Of course you would. It makes perfect sense that you would do that. I think that entire cultures in the past were built up around these paranormal abilities. For example, like Egypt. Ancient Egypt clearly shows signs of this. It wasn't just an ordinary civilization. But of course, as these civilizations really got going and they tried to go mainstream, spirituality and subtle paranormal abilities do not easily go mainstream. They get corrupted. The ego takes over. And so, of course, all these cultures, all these paranormal abilities, all spirituality was corrupted, and it was turned into the kind of religious dogma that today we really don't like, and is the reason why we dismiss all this stuff usually out of hand. Think about also how difficult it always has been to convince the egoic mind, which is very materialistic, very pragmatic, and very gross in its relationship to reality, that there are subtle, hidden dimensions that could be accessed by the mind. If only the ego got out of the way. Think about how difficult it is to convince an egoic mind of this. It's very difficult because the ego wants to stay in power, and the ego likes its relationship to reality as being materialistic, gross, and pragmatic, and it doesn't want to give that up. That's the ego's dogma. That's its position that it's trying to defend. Many of these paranormal abilities are subtle. They're fuzzy. They're intuitive. they require one to unwire their ego, to go beyond the ego. And that's something that's just very rare these days in our culture. There are generally two problems when discussing the paranormal. One is that it's way too easily dismissed by the rational mind. And two is that it's way too easily exaggerated and misinterpreted by the fantastical, superstitious mind. Even if there is some sort of core paranormal phenomena going on, the fantastical mind can easily exaggerate it and misinterpret it and then create a whole cosmology around it, a whole belief system, a whole dogma, rituals and prayer, and then it attaches all sorts of meanings that not might be inherent to that phenomenon that are just made up. See? And so that's what makes this issue so challenging, is because we're dealing with a big sea of gray, not just black and white. It's not so simple as just dismissing or admitting these phenomena. Now, notice that I am not saying that all reports of paranormal phenomena are accurate, and I am not saying that all the cosmologies that get created around these phenomena are necessarily true. What I'm saying is that there must be a core vein of truth running through these reports and through some of these cosmologies, but they could be greatly distorted. And so then it's our job, if we really care to understand what's being talked about, to go in there and sort the wheat from the chaff. Why is paranormal phenomenon not widely known? Well, like I've talked about before in my episodes about epistemology, about radical open-mindedness, about paradigms, about webs of belief, about default positions, about false skepticism, that these are very important topics, very fundamental topics, and I wasn't kidding about that, and that these topics close down your mind and prevent you from accessing deeper aspects of reality, which most people do not even know that they exist, because they're not aware of epistemology and the traps that come with it, and the lack of open-mindedness that they have. This creates problems. And it creates a problem for modern science, because modern science has biases in it which are largely unrecognized today. Here are some of the biases of modern science. It split itself off from first-person phenomena. Modern science is only really concerned with third-person objective phenomenon, which is actually largely conceptual. So that's a huge problem. Modern science has split itself off from consciousness and often denies the most fundamental thing, which is that consciousness is what's most real about reality. That creates a huge problem. Modern science assumes a naive realist paradigm. Modern science assumes that reality is physical and that it's objective, which is demonstrably not the case. We even see that basically demonstrated through quantum physics. Even modern science shows us that the modern scientific paradigm is wrong. The problem is that even many modern scientists haven't really fully grasped the significance of what their studies are showing. And I've talked about the problems with naive realism in prior episodes about that, my rant against naive realism. You can go check that out. That's very important for understanding what I'm going to talk about today. Modern science rejects the non-physical on principle in a dogmatic fashion. It's not empirical about that principle. Modern science is arrogant because it's been successful in the last couple hundred years, creating a lot of computer technology and other kinds of technology, which has been very effective for human beings. But also, just because it's successful in doing that, now it assumes that it's got everything right, which is not the case. It's missing entire domains of reality that it doesn't want to investigate and can't investigate, because some of these domains are beyond the gross materialistic instruments that science uses to make its measurements. Science is overly analytical and reductionistic. Science tends to be overly insular, where all the departments in science are broken apart and everyone's sitting in their little department. And most of the interesting phenomena that's left to discover are actually in between the cracks of those departments. So that creates problems. Science is overly rational. That creates problems because a lot of the stuff we're talking about here, the paranormal, is not rational. So if you insist on reality being rational, you will have to automatically dismiss everything paranormal. And don't forget just how market-driven and bureaucratic science is. These days, it is virtually impossible for an enlightened professor to get tenure at a major university. You understand this? No professor in a university can actually be a mystic or be enlightened, because they will be chased out of the building for being a superstitious kook. It's a complete absurdity how the bureaucratic system of science is structured. You got to play their games. You got to jump through their hoops. You got to publish in their research journals. You got to pass their peer reviews. You got to do all this stuff. And while that seems like that's good, because that's a filter against bullshit, also it's a filter against truth too. It works both ways. It's really hard to construct a filter that's perfect. And science, especially the bureaucratic aspects of it, create a lot of bias and distortion. And also, science is market-driven. So the grants that you get depend on what kind of proposals you submit. If you submit proposal about studying the paranormal phenomena, no one's going to give you grant money for this. No one's going to advance your career by talking to you about this or publishing your articles about this. So it creates a big hurdle for legitimate scientists. We assume that reality is Newtonian, even though science has disproved this pretty much since Einstein. But nevertheless, most scientists and most normal people still walk around and live their everyday life as though it's Newtonian, as though it's physical, as though it's rational, as though it's objective, as though it's set in stone, as though it exists out there somewhere, which is not the case at all. This is completely conceptual. This is a conceptual matrix, this Newtonian idea. Actually, what reality is a hallucination. And even modern science tells you this. You don't need to think very hard about this. This is not some deep philosophy. We know that everything that you've ever experienced about life, which is all phenomena, all experience, what does science tell you? That it's all rendered by the brain. So everything you've ever known, including your body, yourself, all your most intimate ideas and emotions, all your scientific theories, and even your sense of self, that all of that is just a hallucination rendered by the brain. That's what basic biology tells us. And yet we don't really grasp the significance of that. We live in this hallucination as though it's a real, tangible, solid reality, not a hallucination. And the only reason that is because it's so goddamn persistent. And unless you've exited it through psychedelics or through mystical experiences, through an enlightenment experience or so forth, then you have no idea just how flimsy this persistent hallucination really is. So that's one of the reasons why these abilities are so little known, because we don't really have a framework within which to couch them, and in fact, our framework actively denies them. The paranormal is not rational as much as it is highly intuitive. And for many rational-minded people, this is hard to understand. I don't know, maybe their mind can't be intuitive, and that presents a real obstacle to understanding the paranormal. Maybe that's just a feature of their mind. I think that some people are very, very left-brained, physiologically so, to the point where they actually cannot access intuition. And in a sense, they live in a different reality than those of us who can access our intuitions. It really is like talking to a different kind of person. And that's why there's this gap and there's this disconnect. The paranormal phenomenon doesn't lend itself easily to scientific proof. Now, this rubs rational people the wrong way because, of course, they say, well, Leo, that just means it's unfalsifiable. And of course, with that, you can get away with anything. And so they tell me that that's a cop-out. But actually, no, your position is the cop-out, because notice that you're being very circular in your definition of proof. Because what you consider as scientific proof is actually just a convention based on all your beliefs about how reality is and should be. So your expectations of what reality is like color what you consider as proof and the kind of measurements that you're willing to do and the kind of evidence that you're willing to accept. So the question here is, what criteria are you using to define what you call scientific proof? And what you're doing is, if you're saying that I'm failing this falsifiability criteria is actually what you're doing is you're being circular. You're not seeing that your own criteria are not admitting any way of being changed or influenced, because you're already saying that, hey, I know all the possible phenomena that could be found out there in reality, and there cannot be any paranormal ones. And see, my position is that no, you have to be a lot more open than that. That's an empirical question. That's not a question you can answer theoretically or a priori. Science is largely a set of conventions. You have to understand this. How science is done, what's considered good science, what's considered proof and criteria and evidence and proper method. These are all things that we invented and we continue to refine and evolve. And this stuff will definitely continue to be improved in the future. So be careful about clinging to science too much, because we know that science is fallible. That is the very mechanism by which science is so good and so accurate. Another reason why this phenomenon is little known is because this phenomenon can be subtle and weak, and it's not necessarily always super strong. Like I said before with the seeing the future example, it's not necessarily always 100% accurate. Same thing with accessing some of these different kind of entities, aliens, different beings, and all sorts of weird stuff like this. It might be something you can't directly control. It might not be something you can produce in a laboratory setting. See, a lot of times scientists will say, okay, we want to study this phenomena. So what we do is we get a volunteer, we hook them up to all these electrodes, we stick them in a white lab coat, clinical laboratory setting, and he's sitting there. Now he's asked to see the future and to predict what we want him to predict. Well, see, those are silly rationalist notions that are being placed upon the paranormal. The paranormal might not work that way. And just because that's inconvenient for you with your lab testing doesn't make it false. It just means that you have to go out of your way to test this stuff in unconventional, unorthodox scientific manner. See, we have to be open to that possibility. We can't expect all of reality to fit our current methods of science and methods of measurement. You see how closed-minded that is and how circular that is? If you have that kind of expectation, then what will you find? You will only find the evidence that fits your way of collecting evidence. And all the other evidence that exists outside of that will be completely dismissed. Science is still in its infancy. That's another factor we have to consider. That's another reason why this stuff is little known. People somehow just assume that, no, science has already figured everything out. That's not at all the case. 95% of the matter and energy in this universe is unknown to us. Dark matter and dark energy are completely unknown. We don't know what the hell these things are. Only about 5% of our universe is made out of ordinary matter, which we have studied and we know fairly well. So 95% is already known to be unknown. All right, so largely we don't know what the hell we're dealing with when we talk about reality. And there's probably even more outside of those 95% that we don't know. Also, you have to consider that these powers and abilities are very rare, and they can take enormous amounts of disciplined training, which very few people are willing to go through. And that once they go through it, they're not very interested in being scientifically tested like a lab animal. That creates another obstacle. Another obstacle is that these powers are not useful for egoic purposes in many cases, or to fulfill materialistic goals. See, the rationalist, egoic, gross mind likes to think about these powers like this. It's like, well, if I can levitate, then I can use that ability to impress people and become a celebrity and then get on TV and earn a bunch of money. Or if I can predict the future, I can guess tomorrow's lottery numbers and become a billionaire and then keep doing that week after week after week. You see, that's how the egoic mind thinks about this stuff. But these powers don't necessarily work that way. We're talking about a much more subtle realm of reality where actually ego is the obstacle to these powers. And once you let go of your ego and you purify yourself spiritually, then the way that in which you use these powers can be much more subtle and cannot potentially fit some of these materialistic goals that you have. And then a lot of rational people take that as evidence as like, oh, well, that means there are not real powers. No, it just means that these powers don't work the way you want them to work. They don't work the way that you see them working in the movies. Be careful about that. Mainstream culture has a lot of movies that allude to these powers, but then, of course, they blow it out of all proportion, and they make all these powers very, very concrete and physical rather than subtle and spiritual. There actually, interestingly, is quite a lot of scientific evidence for the paranormal. And if you want, I have books on my book list, which I highly recommend you go read to follow up on what those studies are, because I don't have time to go into them. There's quite a lot of them. And it's not just individual case studies or reports of individual people. It's actual studies that have been done, especially on psychic phenomenon like ESP and telepathy and remote viewing and so forth. They have done hundreds of studies, thousands of individual cases were tested, and then they were all put together and meta-studies were done. And what has been found is that actually there is very, very strong evidence, statistical evidence, for slight psi phenomenon within the average population, and then even stronger ones within trained meditators and yogis and so forth. This science seems legitimate. I've looked at it only briefly, so I'm not a scientist. I'm really not qualified to analyze the statistical analysis that went into these meta-studies. You have to go look for yourself and see if you're convinced. But I think some of the evidence there is pretty strong. The problem is that mainstream science dismisses all these studies and all the individual reports, because if it admitted even one, it would have to admit that there are deep, fundamental framework problems within science itself. It would mean admitting that science is incomplete. And of course, that is the last thing that science wants to admit. And science is wedded to the naive realist paradigm. And that paradigm would be shattered if they admitted some of this stuff. So they're going to hold out as long as they possibly can and dismiss it as much as they possibly can until it's just overwhelming. And at this point, it hasn't become overwhelming yet. And I'll tell you why that is. Because of what I call the black hole effect. The black hole effect is very interesting, and it explains why this phenomenon is not really understood by science very well. So think of it this way. Let's say that I'm a really serious, respected scientist in a university like Harvard or something. And people come to me and they bring me some paranormal studies and some reports. And I read them and I say, no, this is silly. This can't possibly be real. I dismiss it. But people keep bringing me these reports. And there seems to be a certain pattern to these reports. And after a certain while, I start to say, maybe there's something, this is crazy, but maybe there's something to this. I got to investigate this a little deeper. So you go and follow the breadcrumb trail and you start to investigate a little bit deeper and you get a little bit more and more convinced, but still you're not totally convinced. And you tell yourself, I won't be totally convinced until I actually see it and demonstrate it for myself. So then you tell yourself, okay, I am going to do it myself. I'm going to develop some of these abilities. And then you go off and you retire from your university. You go and you find yourself a cave in the Himalayas and you live there for 10 years and you concentrate and meditate for 20 hours a day for the next 10 years and you develop some of these abilities. And you're shocked you actually get some of these abilities. But of course, what happens? You've passed through the event horizon of a black hole. There's no coming back and really convincing everyone else outside of what you discovered. You see this? This is the black hole effect. You don't know what's in the black hole. You enter the black hole. You find out something amazing, but then it's so amazing you want to tell everyone back there outside the hole what's in there, but then you can't because nothing escapes the black hole. You're stuck in there forever. You're in a new reality now. And the only way anybody can understand you is to come through that barrier themselves. But then as soon as they do, they will not be able to convince anyone back home. Imagine that you have developed these powers as this scientist, and now you come back to Harvard, to your university, and you try to convince some of your old colleagues that you develop these abilities. What will happen? Will they believe you? Or will they rationally dismiss you? They will rip apart all your arguments, all your evidence. They will question you, and they will just dismiss you as a kook. They will say, you're one of these scientists. Yeah, you were a scientist. You were a respected scientist. But then when you went off into the Himalayas or when you did some DMT or whatever, you've lost it. You've just become a kook. That's what you've become. And that's how they'll dismiss you. Now, maybe one of those scientists will be open-minded enough to say, hey, you know, this guy was my friend. I really trusted him. I don't think he's just making all this shit up. There must be something to this. Let me follow the breadcrumb trail. So he follows the breadcrumb trail. He goes down the rabbit hole. He moves to the Himalayas. He lives in a cave for 10 years and develops some of these abilities. And as soon as he does, he realizes, oh, shit. I'm never going to be able to go back and convince all my colleagues that this is real. And by that point, after 10,000 hours of concentration meditation practice and enlightenment after enlightenment and seeing the most ridiculous and mind-blowing things you could possibly imagine, you have no desire to go back and convince all your colleagues. Science is long gone for you. You're way beyond science at that point. You're way beyond rationality and logic and arguing with people and changing the minds of mainstream culture. You see those people as walking zombies and chimps by that point. You do not even try to reason with those people anymore. That is the black hole effect. And see, this is a very dangerous effect that a lot of people misunderstand. They don't really appreciate the full ramifications of it. And it explains very well how come things like enlightenment or these paranormal abilities don't percolate up into mainstream culture, and they are not well understood by science. If you want to read more about this evidence, go check out some of the books. I have actually a paranormal section on my book list, and I have some books also on my book list about the philosophy of science, the nature of science, and some of these issues about scientific paradigms. Now, though, let's actually get into the juicy details and talk about the actual powers. So firstly, we've got ESP, telepathy, clairvoyance, remote viewing, fortune telling, and prophecy. I kind of lump all these together because these are all the psychic powers. This is all about knowing things in the future or predicting things, seeing things, and so forth. How real are these? My research tells me that these are definitely real. There are just way too many examples of this all across the world being reported. I've even had examples of this reported in my own personal life with people I've dated, various girls and women. Women, actually, interestingly, tend to be more intuitive than men because men are sort of autistic versions of women and are very rational. And because they're so rational, they're not really able to tap into some of this ESP phenomenon quite as easily as women, whereas a lot of women are. And that's why men make fun of women. We say that, oh, women are so flaky and so airy-fairy because they believe in horoscopes and astrology and all this stuff. Actually, you know what it is? Women believe in horoscopes and astrology because they're more intuitive than men, and they tend to experience this kind of ESP phenomenon more easily. That's my theory. Makes sense to me. Maybe you've even encountered some of these kinds of women in your life, or maybe you are one of these kinds of women. And then your boyfriend or husband doesn't really understand you because he's very rational. And so what do? Do you try to convince him? No, you have to just close your mouth and keep that stuff to yourself, you see? And again, that's the black hole effect at work. So these abilities can definitely be developed, I think, if you practice a lot of meditation and concentration. Healing, I think, is also one of those abilities that is real. I think examples in the history books of various saints and sages and mystics who did miraculous acts of healing on people, that these are not just exaggerations and pure accidents or pure coincidences, that there actually are these abilities. I've actually personally met multiple face-to-face people who told me that they were healers. I met this one woman at an enlightenment retreat in Toronto who was talking about how she had some ESP type of abilities before enlightenment. Then she got enlightened through doing these workshops and so forth. And after that, her healing abilities just blossomed. And then she became a professional healer, and she's actually able to touch people and see and just like intuitively feel where there are diseases or ailments in their body, and then just sort of energetically heal them and remove those, which is pretty cool to hear one of those reports, you know, face to face, not just reading it in a book. So that, in combination with other reports that I've read and heard about, convinced me that healing probably has something to it. Now, how does the healing actually work? Does it work through a mechanism of physical healing or energetic healing or non-physical? What's actually going on there? I have no idea. No idea at all. But that's something for science to really investigate if science wants to be open-minded. Astral projection is definitely real. You can learn to do it. I have a book on my bookshelf called Learn Astral Projection in 90 Days. There are so many people talking about how you can learn astral projections. There are tons of books, tons of techniques. You can do this one yourself. Channeling. I also have books on my bookshelf about how to learn how to channel. And I've seen videos of people channeling, and they look fairly convincing. At first, when I heard about channeling, it sounded silly. This idea that somehow people are able to connect to some higher being or some sort of alien entities and get information from them. But the more you study this, and the more you study cases of brain disorders and the interesting stuff that goes on there, the more open you become to the possibilities of channeling. Now, what actually channeling is, I don't know. Are these people actually connecting telepathically to some sort of alien entities? I don't know. Maybe all it is that they're connecting with some aspect of their brain that most of us can't connect to. Maybe their brain is wired differently, has different chemicals in there, such that they're able to connect to different aspects of reality that normally we couldn't connect to. The books on my list about different brain disorders are very, very eye-opening and can really help you to shift your paradigm in this case, because you hear of all these well-documented medical cases of injury and damage in the brain or chemical imbalances and how that shapes one's reality in very radical and weird ways, you start to see that, yeah, of course, a lot of this phenomenon, if you want to, can simply be explained by brain chemistry, differences in brain functions, different modules in the brain which are activated genetically in different people at different times in their lives and through different practices like concentration, meditation, and so forth. Now, the mistake that many people here make when they hear about, oh, this is all just brain stuff, it's all just brain hallucinations, that's how you explain all this stuff, Leo, be very careful about that. Because you have to take into account that all of your reality, your sense of self, your personal history, everyone that you love and care about, all your notions of science, all your rationality, that all of that is also a hallucination, which is rendered by your brain, or so science tells us, and is just a chemical phenomenon. You see? So when we say that, oh, channeling is just a brain phenomena, well, all of reality is a brain phenomena. So that doesn't dismiss the channeling the way that many people think. Many people forget the default position that they're operating under, which is that they think that, hey, what I see right now, this right here is real reality and everything else is just hallucination. No, 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 no. All of it is hallucination, including what you're seeing right now, especially what you're seeing right now. And you can easily discover this just by taking some high dose DMT or psychedelics, have a breakthrough of that, and you will clearly see what I'm talking about. That will really open you up to understanding some of this phenomena. Out-of-body experiences, quite definitely real. Not near-death experiences also seem very plausible and very credible. There's thousands of these examples. You can read entire books about it. past lives. I've heard so many reports about past lives from people who do deep psychotherapy, from people who practice deep meditation, who experience enlightenment in hypnosis sessions. People talk about past lives all the time. Now, does this mean that there actually were past lives, or that is some brain phenomenon or whatever it is? I don't know. I don't know the ontological status of past lives, but I think it's a real phenomenon. Auras also seem to be like a pretty credible and real phenomenon that certain people experience. Now, what about witchcraft, magic, and voodoo? Surely this must be fantasy, right? Actually, just not that long ago, I was reading a blog written by a modern witch. Yeah, I'm serious. She has a blog. You can go there and you can read about her witchcraft. And she tells you about her witchcraft and different ointments that she makes. She talks about flying ointments and how to prepare them. I was interested in flying ointments. That's how I found this blog. I was researching flying ointments. And what this is that she takes pig fat, she renders it down for like multiple days. Then she takes various psychoactive herbs like henbane and mandrake root and datura, which is a very powerful psychoactive substance, and belladonna and all this kind of stuff. Some of these are very poisonous, actually. They could kill you. She puts them in there. She makes this brew. She boils it down, and she creates this little jar of flying ointment. And then what does she do with that? She takes it and she rubs it on her temples. She rubs it under her armpits, and she rubs it in her vagina. And then this sends her on a wacky psychedelic trip. And this is where the idea of witches flying came from. And there's a whole art and science to witchcraft that I've only skimmed the surface of. So witchcraft is not just witches flying around on sticks over your city. It's more about inner travel. And then she talks about how this flying ointment helps her to do astral projection, helps her to do channeling and healing and all sorts of weird stuff like that. Now, I hear what you're saying. You say, but Leo, I don't have a vagina. How am I supposed to be a witch? Well, I got good news for you. Coming next week, the episode will be how to attract a hot witch girlfriend. And then you can have her, and then she can tell you all about her experiences. This stuff is kind of wacky, but then when you actually study it, your perspective changes in a very interesting way. How about ghosts, spirits, and poltergeists? Are these real? Man, I don't know. I've never seen one personally, but it seems like people cannot just be making this shit up out of scratch. It has to be based on something. I'm willing to bet, I would put my money on the fact that there are certain kinds of ghosts and spirits as a raw phenomenon that you can experience. Now, what they actually are, metaphysically, I have no idea, but I think that you can experience them. How about aliens and beings? There are so many UFO and abduction stories that I think that it is definitely a real phenomenon. But again, I don't know what it is metaphysically. Is it actually aliens from another star system? I doubt that. I think it has to do more with the brain and more with more kind of subtle spiritual phenomena with these sort of entities. What about deities? People in all sorts of religious traditions and mystical traditions talk about deities. I have it on pretty good authority that actually they are also real. In fact, because there are certain mystical traditions, very ancient ones and very rigorous ones like Tibetan Buddhism and Hindu Tantra, which are all about actually manifesting real living deities. So what you do is you use various arcane occult meditation practices, visualization practices to actually create these deities, and these deities will come to life. They're not just figments of your imagination in the way that we conventionally think. This deity will appear before you. It will be animated. It will be lifelike. It will make you crap your pants, and then it can tell you real wisdom about life, about reality. It can enlighten you. It can transform your entire life. You can actually learn these practices and go do it, and then prove me wrong. I bet you if you were really serious about it, you could actually do it. I've read accounts of yogis that I trust, modern-day yogis, serious meditation practitioners who've actually done this stuff. How about angels, demons, and exorcism? Surely this must be false. Actually, I think that this is also a real phenomenon that you can experience. I've heard some credible accounts from multiple sources talking about experiencing demons. And I think that is possible. If you can experience a deity, surely you can experience a demon. And this demon will be completely lifelike. It will make you crap your pants. It'll make you wish for mommy. I think that that's definitely possible. And if you start to read studies of psychotic patients and schizophrenic patients, whatever's going on with them, I'm not sure, but they also report seeing various kinds of demons. And then, of course, that's where the exorcism would come from that we know about. How about telekinesis and levitation? Surely these must be fantasy, right? Actually, I don't know about levitation, but as far as telekinesis, I have one credible report from a very enlightened master that I respect and trust who claims that he has personally witnessed telekinesis in Asia. I don't know. I'm just saying what I have experienced as far as my research goes. I have not experienced any of these powers personally, but just gathering all this data has been very interesting and very eye-opening. I would not be surprised at all if some very, very hardcore, serious mystics were able to levitate. I would not be surprised by that at this point. I mean, I would be shocked if I, like, walked into a cave in the Himalayas and I saw a mystic levitating. I would be shocked. And I would definitely pull out my phone and want to record it and post it on YouTube to show people. But at the same time, in the back of my mind, I'd be like, yeah, I kind of knew that was possible anyways. Just because once you go to a certain level in your spiritual work and in your meditation, and you have a few enlightenment experiences, and you see that all of reality, all of this, is just a hallucination, an infinite hallucination, you start to open yourself up to all sorts of crazy possibilities. Doesn't mean they're true, but you're more open to them. Heaven and hell, are these real? I actually think there is something to this. I think that I've heard reports from people who talk about heaven and hell, not just metaphorically, the way sometimes I talk about it when I talk about non-duality, but like literally. They actually go to these places, these alternate realities, and they are very heaven-like or very hell-like. And in the hell-like ones, there is so much suffering there that in your wildest dreams, you couldn't imagine that degree of suffering. And these people want to escape, and they're so glad that they did escape. And that experience of being in hell has transformed their whole attitude and made them a lot more loving and more compassionate towards other people, towards the suffering of other people, and the kind of suffering that they inflict on other people. Makes them tread carefully in the world, because they never want to go to hell, and they don't even want to send their worst enemies to hell, because it's so bad there. What does that really mean? What's the ontological status of that? I don't know. How do you get there? I don't know. You'd have to go in there and do more research. And lastly, transmutation. Transmutation is the ability to actually change physical matter into something other than it is, in a sort of alchemical fashion. I've seen and heard reports of yogis and mystics being able to bless objects, physical objects, actually charge them with certain spiritual energies, which these objects then possess and then radiate to create like relics, so to speak, or to create sacred objects, or to even to bless temples, for example. And then that is not just something that they do intellectually, but something that's actually a physical phenomenon where they're actually able to charge these objects with certain kinds of energy. So those are the various powers that are potentially out there. Now, people sometimes ask, well, Leo, what is there besides enlightenment? All that shit that I just talked about, There's all that, which most enlightened people do not tell you about. The Neo-Advaitins are not going to tell you about any of this stuff. They don't care to explain it at all because their position is that, hey, there's nothing to do. Even within the realm of enlightenment, there's nothing to do. Just sit back. You're already enlightened. There's nothing to do. There's nothing to learn. There's nothing to understand. That's their position. It's such a stupid position that I don't even feel like arguing with it anymore. It's just such a stupid position. Even if you're enlightened, you still have to be epistemically humble in the sense that you really don't know. Unless you've experienced some of these phenomena, if you haven't personally levitated, if you haven't personally experienced a demon, if you haven't personally channeled another entity, you have no business talking about these things as though you know, or dismissing them, or saying, well, but all that stuff, you know, enlightenment is the supreme truth, and all that stuff is just phenomenon. No, the fact is you have no idea what that stuff is until you've encountered it firsthand. And then when you do, maybe that'll change your mind. Maybe it won't, but maybe it will. The point is you don't know, so don't be so dismissive. What's very interesting I found is that even the most sober, non-dual teachers, the most non-religious ones, if you actually sit down with them behind closed doors and question them about these certain paranormal phenomena, they will be forced to admit that they have had some of these kinds of experiences, or even some of these abilities are manifested in them. And yet, these people would never, ever speak about these abilities in public, nor would they even tell their regular students about it, nor would they write about it in their books. Never. Why is that? Because they don't want to distract the ego from the work of overcoming itself. They know how easily you can get distracted by shiny objects. And then you want to go chasing these powers. And so they usually keep quiet about it. And that's another example of why most people don't know about this stuff. To me, reality makes a lot more sense when you accept that the paranormal is possible. How else can you explain all of spirituality? And I mean all of spirituality. Spiritual traditions are so rich and complex and varied all across the world that in my mind, it's impossible to explain this merely by saying that, oh, well, it's all just based on enlightenment and non-duality and a bunch of dogma and a bunch of fantasy. That doesn't explain it. That's really a cop-out. That explanation only works if you're sitting on your couch, eating Cheetos, watching Game of Thrones, watching YouTube videos, listening to my videos while you're playing video games. If you're that kind of person and you're not a real serious inquirer into the nature of reality, you're not seriously doing any kind of hardcore spiritual practices, then yeah, for you, that kind of explanation can work. But for someone who reads hundreds of books carefully, open-mindedly, investigates all the sources, all the reports, goes to seminars, meditates his ass off, has enlightenment experiences, does psychedelics, does all this stuff in a very careful manner, that explanation does not work. Our world spiritual traditions are so complex and contradictory, I think, because there is the kernel of non-duality in all of them, but also there are kernels of these paranormal abilities, which are really difficult, even more difficult than enlightenment, to communicate to people. Because the rational mind just doesn't want to hear it. And I think that different people in different traditions, and even within the same traditions, have different abilities to experience this paranormal phenomenon, and that's why there's so much disagreement and so much bickering and back and forth. And even within one particular school of Buddhism, for example, or one particular school of Hinduism, there will be sects and divisions and conflict. People will disagree. Why is that? Because some of them literally access different aspects of reality than others. It is not the case that all enlightened people are identical and all the same. Now, the question comes, how does paranormal phenomena fit in with non-duality? I think like this. Non-duality is the absolute truth behind all of reality. The paranormal is not that. It's below that. The paranormal is just deeper dimensions of phenomenal reality. So phenomenal reality can be any number of infinite ways. And some of them can be very weird and strange. But most of them are just plain or ordinary reality the way we know it. So the strange ones, these edge cases, that's what I think the paranormal is. And it's accessing different dimensions of reality. Maybe it's accessing different dimensions of your mind or your brain. I don't really know. I don't think there's any conflict, though, between the two. I think that the paranormal is necessary to really explain the full complexity of spiritual traditions. And that once you do adopt this kind of lens, and you start to look at the spiritual traditions through this lens, they start to make a lot more sense to you. And you start to fight and resist them a lot less than you did before. Now, of course, the million-dollar question is, how do I develop paranormal abilities? There are two ways. One is that you're born with them, or you're genetically predisposed, or somehow your brain chemistry is such that you're predisposed to it. So that's one. And two is that it requires thousands and thousands of hours of practice, specifically concentration practice. From my research, what I concluded is that concentration practice is the key. And you need to do it not just on and off a couple hours a day, but I'm talking about 10 hours a day, 20 hours a day for years. If you spend 10,000 hours in deep concentration practice, you'll probably develop some paranormal powers. What those might be, who knows? They tend to be pretty random, and you're not guaranteed to get them. And which ones you get, we don't know. You know, it probably depends on the type of psyche you have, the type of brain chemistry you have, and so forth. Another way to quickly maybe get a little taste of psychedelic abilities is by taking psychedelics, especially very wacky ones like DMT, which can put you in touch with other entities and aliens and extraterrestrials and so forth, which will be very lifelike and very convincing for you. Because there's actually a module in the brain. We found there's a module in the brain that when this module is stimulated with the right chemicals like DMT, that what that does is that that makes you recognize others, other entities. This module is responsible for how you can recognize other human beings and distinguish them from physical objects. And so when this gets overstimulated, then you start to interact with all sorts of other entities. Now, is that just brain abnormality, or are you actually accessing some hidden dimensions of reality? I don't know. You'd have to go try it and see. Another question people would have is, will I get these powers if I become fully enlightened? And the answer here is no. Just because you're enlightened doesn't mean you're going to have these powers. Maybe, but maybe not. Generally, what I find is that if you want these powers, you have to work for them specifically. It's sort of like weightlifting. You have to isolation train the specific muscle that you want to grow. And there's no one exercise that builds all your muscles equally. But of course, enlightenment is very helpful because enlightenment opens you up to a very different relationship to all of reality. It really shatters all your old paradigms. So it really opens you up. And you might have some powers that come with very deep enlightenment. So be prepared for that. Be open to that. Don't be taken by surprise. Is it worthwhile to develop these paranormal abilities? The answer to this is maybe. I've seen that there's lots of potential for growth in pursuing some of these things. For example, like astral projection or channeling, you could grow yourself a lot in pursuing these. But also there's a lot of potential for delusion. You could easily delude yourself. There's also potential for corruption because these are powers And of course, what we know is that the ego easily gets corrupted by power. Especially if you try to develop these powers while your ego is still fully intact and you haven't done a lot of spiritual work on yourself, you haven't had any kind of enlightenment experiences, then you're very likely to abuse these powers, to harm yourself and to harm others, which is another reason why many spiritual masters do not talk about these powers, because they don't want that to happen. And also, it could become a distraction from doing your spiritual purification work, from doing self-inquiry, from working towards enlightenment. So you have to be careful. You have to recognize that there's only so much time and energy you have in the day, and enlightenment and spiritual purification work already takes up a lot of time and a lot of energy. So do you really have the time to go out there and to chase extrasensory perceptions or channeling and studying all this sort of stuff? You can if you're really interested in it, but consider it as an opportunity cost. And that might be a very big cost. Ultimately, I think that pursuing enlightenment is the highest goal. It's the best thing for you, I think. And then if you want to pursue powers or abilities after that, then you can, and you'll be able to do it from a nice non-egoic place, and you might actually be able to develop these abilities to help people. For example, if you want to become a healer, or you want to use your higher intuitive abilities and your ESP abilities to somehow help people, that's great. But you need to do that on a foundation of enlightenment and not just on the foundation of your current ego state. So that's basically these powers in a nutshell. Now, I don't want you to just believe me. I'm not here trying to be a new ager. I'm not trying to fill your head with dogma. I'm no Alex Jones conspiracy theorist. I don't want you to now go and start researching on the internet for years and years and years, going down the rabbit hole about how aliens are raping our children and putting chemicals in our water and all this, like, none of that. All right? That's not what this talk is about. What I'm doing here is I'm really just sharing my informal research findings with you. My worldview on these powers is still developing. In a couple of years, it might change. In a couple of years, I might come back here and say, you know what? All this stuff I said is all nonsense. I've proven to myself that it's false. Maybe that might happen. I'm totally open to it. I'm not dogmatic about this topic. I don't have a horse in the race. I don't care if levitation is real or it's not real. It really doesn't matter. I think it would be cool if it was real. But if it's not real, I'm okay with that too. I'm just a guy who is doing a lot of research, studying a lot of stuff, and just trying to make sense of life and the world that I see around me. That's all that my mission is here. And I'm very willing to admit if I'm wrong about something in the future. Now, understand that my claims here are actually empirical and they are falsifiable. So if you're the skeptic sort, you're just a scientific sort, and you really care about knowing what's true, understand, firstly, that you can go out there and do your own research and be convinced by that research. Some of it is very convincing. Number two is that you can actually develop these abilities for yourself. Do not dismiss this possibility. And there are some really easy ones to develop, like astral projection. You could develop this one in a couple of months. And also, you can do some psychedelics, which can really open you up and give you little previews of some of these abilities. So put your money where your mouth is. If you're skeptical, if you're rational, if you're an atheist, good. That's very good. Nothing wrong with being skeptical, but now put your money where your mouth is. Go do some of this stuff. Don't just sit on your couch being an armchair skeptic. That right there is mental masturbation. I dare you to go spend 10,000 hours in deep concentration practice and not develop some of these powers. I dare you to try that. But just remember, the black hole effect will get you. So once you become convinced, well, that doesn't mean you'll be able to convince all your friends and everybody else. In fact, you will probably inhabit a totally new reality. Of course, you'll be happy, much more happy in that reality than in the one that you're in right now, because you'll have a lot more consciousness and a lot more self-awareness. You will then suffer from this problem of, how do I share this beautiful stuff with the world? And that's a problem that's plagued mystics and sages for thousands of years. How do we share this stuff when the common herd is so pragmatic and so gross and materialistic that they have no possibility for understanding the subtle dimensions of reality? That's a very big problem. That's something I've been racking my brain over for years now, and it's very challenging. I have a hard time doing it myself through my content, and I basically devoted my whole life to helping people understand these very counterintuitive things and to combating over-rationalism and so forth. So you're going to have just as much trouble as me, probably even more, because, hey, this is probably not your life mission. But that's how it is. Test it out for yourself. Put your skepticism to the test. I want to conclude with a couple of warnings. Firstly, is be careful not to go on a power trip with these things. Don't go chasing these powers. Clearly recognize that that would be ego. Also, be careful not to get distracted by this. Don't go off reading a bunch of books about astral projection when really you should be sitting down and doing self-inquiry. Also, be careful not to project your skepticism onto me. If you disagree with some of the things I say here, okay, fine. We can have a legitimate disagreement. But don't go pointing your finger at me and saying that, oh, Leo, now you've become a new ager ever since you started doing psychedelics. Now all your content is all airy-fairy and it's all over the place and you've gone down the deep end and you're getting crazy and I don't want to become like you. Look, this is growth. This channel is about growth. My models of reality are changing. This was predicted from the very beginning. This is not a surprise. This will continue to happen. Ultimately, what's going to happen with me is a total black hole effect. At some point in my development, and maybe sooner rather than later, I will reach a point where I may not even be able to communicate with you through these videos because I will have experienced things that are impossible to communicate with words. I mean, I've already experienced things like that, which I can't really communicate to you. And even if I try to, the only thing that would happen is that you would just become incredulous and then it would just backfire on me because it would just tarnish my reputation, which is why the deepest sages, saints, and mystics, they don't talk very much. They sit in caves very silently. And even when students come to them, they sit there for days in silence because they just know that you can't get from to there from here without making a quantum leap in your consciousness. Your current level of consciousness is blocking you from understanding a whole hell of a lot of stuff about life. So, that's it. In conclusion, just realize that the content of reality can be weird as fuck. A lot weirder than you ever expected. And, actually, that makes perfect sense. Because you're born into this life and you don't know what you're going to encounter. Everything is new. The only reason that you have expectations is just based on past memories and past experiences. But the past doesn't necessarily mean the future, and what you know here doesn't necessarily mean is the same as the stuff that's over there, or under the ocean, or another planet, or in some other dimension. You don't fucking know what you don't know. That's the ultimate epistemic lesson here. So we got to be very humble, we got to be very open about all this stuff. And, the last thing I'll say is, welcome to self-actualization. It goes way deeper than you ever imagined. That's it. We're done here. Please click the like button for me. Post your comments down below. Share this episode with a friend. Come check out actualize.org. See all the resources I have for you there. I have my newsletter. I have my blog. I have the forum. I have the Life Purpose course, I have the book list, check all that out, more stuff will be added in the future, and stick with me for more.